to a Hope 103.2 podcast.
Well, the last few nights, I've been talking about the great differences between the world religions. In particular, I've been trying to point out that pluralism, the belief that all religions are equally true and valid, has some major faults intellectually and practically. So the question is, why are so many people so attracted to pluralism? Why do so many Australians insist that the great faiths of the world are just different paths up the same mountain? One reason, which I talked about last night, is tolerance. Because we want people from different religions to get along with each other, we want them also to agree with each other. But as I said last night, true tolerance is not simply accepting another person's viewpoint as true and valid. That's just called agreement. True tolerance is the more difficult and more noble ability to treat with compassion and respect someone whose viewpoint you find to be untrue and invalid. But there's probably a second reason our society encourages openness to all religious claims. It has to do not so much with the admirable desire for getting along with each other, but with the long-held Australian tradition of choosing the easier of two options. Some might call this apathy. I prefer to call it economy of effort. Let me explain what I mean by economy of effort and then explain how it applies to religions. Suppose you were to ask two Chinese friends how to say I love you in Mandarin. One of them promptly replies, that's simple. You say, wo ai ni. Immediately the other friend says, no, it's pronounced this way, wo hen ni. You now have a problem which can be resolved in one of two ways. On the one hand, you could research the issue for yourself. This might involve finding another Chinese friend and asking for clarification, or perhaps going to the local library and looking up the entry in the English Mandarin dictionary. It might take a little effort, but at least in the end, you could make an informed decision. The other option, though, is far easier. Rather than dwell on the discrepancy in their replies, you could simply assume that each of their answers was essentially correct. Perhaps they were just different ways of saying the same thing. Perhaps they were dialect variations of one original expression. After all, there was only one syllable difference between wo ai ni and wo hen ni. How different could they really be? Affirming both answers as true, then, will avoid upsetting anyone and require no effort on your part whatsoever. It's the perfect economy of effort, except that in reality, wo hen ni means I hate you, not I love you. I'm sure you can see my point. When a Hindu affirms the existence of many personal gods, and a Jew insists on the existence of just one personal god, it produces a dilemma that you can approach in one of two ways. On the one hand, you could investigate it for yourself. You can investigate the historical and philosophical arguments involved in polytheism versus monotheism. This might involve reading a whole book or two on the subject, or perhaps, you know, just getting alone and pondering the issue through. Alternatively, you could take the simpler option, the economy of effort option, and affirm that both claims are valid in their own way. There are both many gods and just one god. Now, while this might pose a mathematical problem for some, it's clearly the path of least resistance. Again, when a Buddhist or Muslim insists that you and I possess the ability within ourselves to live by the truth and merit our ultimate salvation, and then a Christian insists that these things can only be the gifts of God's grace, it raises a problem, which you can respond to in one of two ways. On the one hand, you could explore the grounds of these respective claims and assess whether you personally have the capacity spoken of by Buddhism and Islam. Much easier than this, though, is the economy of effort approach, and decide that both of these are true in some mysterious way. To offer a more pointed example, when a Christian affirms that Jesus died on a cross and rose to life, and a Muslim insists that Jesus did neither of these, it produces a dilemma that you can approach in one of two ways. On the one hand, you could look into it for yourself. You could assess what historians think happened to Jesus. There's more books on this question than you probably imagine. Easier by far, though, would be to accept both claims as true in their own special way. Now, while this would require a degree of mental elasticity on your part, since in reality Jesus either did or did not die on a cross, it's clearly the option requiring the least effort. What I'm saying here, and hopefully not too impolitely, is that our society's keenness to affirm all religious viewpoints stems in part from an aversion to having to think too deeply about any one of them. Put another way, the all roads lead to Rome view of spirituality can simply be a way of justifying our unwillingness to look down any of the roads. And the result of this economy of effort is pretty sad, I reckon. Whether by an aversion to intolerance or a tendency to take the easy option, this vague affirmation of all beliefs has the potential to leave us without faith altogether. The English critic and author G.K. Chesterton once wrote these words: "An open mind is like an open mouth. Its purpose is to bite on something nourishing. Otherwise, it becomes like a sewer, accepting everything, rejecting nothing." The economy of effort approach to religion, I think, is a little like Chesterton's all-accepting mouth. It rejects nothing, and so becomes a little bit like a sewer. But we don't honour the religions by affirming their sameness. We honour them by understanding their distinctive flavours and scrutinising their central claims. It's in doing this that we may actually find ourselves able to bite on something nourishing. Surely, if there were a spiritual reality intended for all of us, we would expect some tangible signpost in the world pointing us in the right direction. Surely God would not leave his creatures with nothing but a bewildering variety of religious voices to get our attention. Wouldn't the Almighty, assuming he exists, have made things clearer? Well, Christianity answers with a resounding yes. And the substance of the Christian answer provides the basis of faith for one third of the world's population today, 2 billion people. And over the next few nights, I want to explore with you basic distinction between the claims of the world religions and those of Christianity. This distinction makes a world of difference and offers us a signpost out of the bewildering contradictions and into God's beautiful truth.
Hope 103.2. Thanks for listening.